Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. Hello, Negotiations Ninja listeners. Welcome to this new episode of Negotiations Ninja, where we're talking to the amazing and incredible Susan Ibitz all about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard case. You know, we got to be relevant. We got to be relevant with all the cool kids these days. We're talking all about body language and facial expressions. We all know that Johnny Depp was the party that the jury sided with, and now we get to dive deep into some of the facial analysis and body language. Susan is amazing. I recommend that you follow her. Enjoy this. It was a LinkedIn Live and we had a great time with it. All right. We are live for our in-depth conversation with Susan Ibitz, talking all about the result and obviously the things that led us to the result. The jury has sided with Johnny Depp. Susan has been very, very focused on this over the last 6 weeks and more, studying all of the body language and all of the facial expressions that have been going on during the trial from both sides of the table and everyone involved. Welcome, Susan Ibitz.
Thank you for having me. Like always, it's a pleasure. You was the first podcast who promote me. So you and your podcast and all the material you does, it always have a special part of my heart.
Well, likewise, I think you're pretty amazing. I love what you do. I love the work that you do. And I think that we're going to have a really, really interesting conversation today because we're talking all about what's been happening, basically, what's been the focus of popular culture for the world for the last 6 to 8 weeks. And I'd love to dive into a conversation about that. I know that you've been studying this quite in depth over the last 6 weeks, and there have been some interesting developments that have happened. And now that we know that obviously the jury has sided with Johnny Depp's team, we can now review what's been happening and say, okay, what was it? What was it that really influenced the jury? Obviously, there was evidence. Obviously, there were statements. But a lot of what influenced the jury and a lot of what influenced people over the course of this, and certainly influenced a lot of social media as a result, was the body language and the facial expressions of each of the parties in that trial. So let me start there. Let's start with this question. What were your impressions of the result? And was the result consistent with where you thought the trial was going to go?
A, yes, we knew that is going to happen. We didn't know how is going to be the damage collected and how much money. We believe that none of them is going to receive money. But we work in, like, for the ones who follow the show Bull and go to the pre-trial signs, that is one of our specialties. They don't understand that what they're showing you in the show Bull is nothing compared to what happened in a trial. We work with an AI company and we send the closing statements and we send the expert and everything, and everybody come back saying, we don't believe her. It's not that neither of them lied. Both did. Both had red flags. But one of the things that I would say is the most important. A, she oversell it, under delivered. When they prove so strongly that you lie in something so committed to the heart of so many people, like the Me Too movement, that you says that you publish an ops that you didn't write, you didn't approve. Somebody's going to tell a story about me, even about a pimple in my nose. I'm going to review it. You're a public persona. You don't sneeze without going to a publicist to tell. Actually, after the verdict, when the verdict was still being expressed yesterday, she didn't leave the courthouse. Already she tweeted what happened, meaning the publicists were working on tweeting that. So that's the way she works. So it's not believable. And you saying, I pledge money, I donate money, it's a huge difference. You says that you're the Me Too movement face, that you donate $7 million on your divorce, that you don't want anything with that, and all the media, and use the past tense. I did it. I donated. And they show that you pledge. And let's remember, because it was so much information, she received the divorce settlement 13 to 16 months before she was sued. So she have the money. So the phrase, oh, I couldn't donate the money and fulfill my pledge because I was sued, is not true. She had the money before. She was unbelievable. It was too exaggerated the way she tell the story. The difference between a Shark Tank presenter or a lawyer when negotiation is how you tell your story. She went from details that she didn't remember in the other lawsuit to details of things that it's difficult to remember, but suddenly she didn't remember what movie she was filming. She didn't come out likable. She didn't come out warm. She didn't come out believable. One of the things that you need to be pay attention when you go into court is from the makeup to the hair to the clothes. From all the jurors, 6, 7, 10, whatever you have, always one of them is going to be looking at you. So your demeanor or lack of demeanor is a way that you express yourself. Now, regarding to Johnny Depp, he acknowledged his demon. Another thing about her, she never was responsible. She threw under the bus his dad doing cocaine with Johnny and drinking with Johnny. She threw under the bus her sister teaching Johnny how to snort cocaine with a tampon too. So it was somebody else's fault. In his case, he owned it. He was likable. He take his time. The cadence of the story, the tone of the voice, somebody sneezed on the juror's bench and he says, bless. He was like, you get a mega pint of wine. You was there? Well, you was drinking at 10 a.m. It's happy hour someplace. I know the humor can be difficult, but people need to remember this trial wasn't for who's guilty or innocent. This trial was to bring back where Johnny Depp was destroyed on the media. And guess what? He won on the media, no matter how much money is involved. She lost more than money. She lost her career. She damaged the Me Too movement in a way that is not only about women, it's about people who has been victim of harassment or domestic violence. She did so much damage. Then I don't know how long it's going to take to recover this.
Yeah, it's incredible to see the result now and to see how comfortable or uncomfortable each party was in the trial. Because what I found was, at least from the cursory viewing that I had, Depp's team seemed very comfortable, very relaxed, very focused. And he also seemed comfortable throughout. He presented well, he spoke well, and he also seemed very relaxed, where the opposite happened on Heard's team. Heard's team seemed flustered a lot of the time. It seemed like they were unorganized a lot of the time. Now, whether they were or they weren't, I don't know. Right?
It's the perception.
It's the perception.
When you negotiate, even in a hostile negotiation, interrogation, and a testimony, their position and a cross-examination is the perception. We did a video, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I had it on the tip of my nose. So we did a video showing how the Amber Heard team interact, and there were like ants on a maze, like going back and forth, papers all over the place. And Team Depp was like passing the sticks, chatting, talking, fraternizing, hugging. Hi, how you doing when they get to court? She was like stoic, the Queen of England, waiting for people to look at her. Nobody look at her. That is a perception. Get your things together, people. In a lawsuit, is you, your witness, your expert, and your lawyers on trial. Your lawyer and your witness can kill you even though you have the best case in the world.
What were some of the biggest telltale signs for you when you looked at the body language of Amber Heard when she was making her testimony? What were some of the biggest telltale signs for you in her body language, in her facial expressions that made you believe, and now it's obvious, that it was all fabricated?
First of all, we knew when she's going to testify. We work, again, trials and depots incorporate so many people. We have a makeup artist because we work with face. So she made your face based on what we need. More rounded, more likable, the tone of the colors, the makeup. We knew for this trial how much makeup incorporate. So when she wasn't wearing any mascara and any fake lashes, I knew she's going to be testifying. And I knew it's going to be fake crying. You know why? Because when women cry, the mascara run in your face, who is a huge theatrical scene to use in a trial or another position. When you see a woman crying and the mascara running like in a movie, no matter how an empath you are, you're going to lean your body like, oh, I want to give you a tissue. When right. she didn't have that, I knew she's going to testify. The lack of real emotion, force, like, I want so bad. No, when you have emotions, the emotion need to happen at the same time that your words happen. Like, Mark, when you told me we're going live, like, really? We're going live? So my face was a continue, like, holy cow. Thank God I'm always ready. So it need to be a consistency, what you're saying and the expression you show. It was too much overacting. I love B-typed movies where like everything is exaggerated and it's blood and killing. Well, I think those movies deserve an Oscar against the acting she did. She was wrongly coached. She didn't pay it. I think that wrongly coached based on the lawyer's culture, she did whatever she wanted. You cannot overselling. Again, expression didn't match. The hand gestures. She was saying, she was looking to the juror and pointing in that way. When your body pointing, your feet, your ventricle, who are your hips and your hands, need to go. And when she says, he punched me and he re-punched with the left hand, that is not coherence. You're not a boxer. If you says, okay, somebody, I punch it and I punch it again, it wasn't coherence between the body, the words, the expression, and the face. And the fakeness on the face, what it did was make people like, I smell it. Remember that we talked before, people who are born blind and the ones who are not, they have the same expressions on in the body and the face when they want to lose. So we have this precambric. If the jury is not aware, that is really difficult that the jury didn't check the media. They have 1 week off. Like, you need to live on a in a bubble not to know what happened. It make her look so fake. And when the experts came to talk about media and the lawyers magically reinsert on the narrative, well, so Amber Heard a turd, Amber Heard this and this, and only Johnny Depp have justice for Johnny Depp, that I was thinking like, Amber lawyers are working for Johnny Depp. If one juror didn't check on the media, they kill her with that testimony. And all the time she was smirking when other people was testifying, again, the jurors are going to be looking at you all the time and the TV was present. She was smirking, laughing, taking notes, like, and looking at that. In certain moments, she was doing like the goofy, like, concern, the sadness. It was too fake. It was too fake.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about another company that I run called Content Callout. It is a thought leadership brand marketing company. Now, what does that mean? It means that we take you as an executive or entrepreneur, a leader of a small or medium-sized business, and we turn you into a thought leader online. We take your personal brand and we amp it up to 11. So that you can lead with confidence, knowing that people will recognize you, recognize your brand, and recognize your business because of the thought leadership approach that you've taken on social media through content creation and content distribution, as well as engaging with all of your following online. How do you get involved in this? Easy, easy, easy. Just go to contentcallout.com/get-started, and you will see there three different options that will allow you to take your thought leadership brand for yourself and for your business to the next level. We are super excited to talk to you about this. We've seen some massive growth with the businesses that we've been working with. Very, very exciting time for us. Look at that. We appreciate it. Now back to your show. I also noticed throughout the discussion when there was cross-examination and Heard's lawyers, specifically Elaine, when she got up to speak and Camille Vasquez, who was one of the counsel of Johnny Depp, would say objection, hearsay, whatever it might be, it was very evident that Elaine was getting very flustered, and so was the other lawyer on Heard's team, and seemed really caught off guard, didn't know how to handle it, didn't contain and manage their emotions very well throughout. And that was telling for me as a sign of how much have you practiced this? How much have you gone through this? How much have you role played? And as someone that teaches negotiation, when I saw that, I was like, you appear grossly unprepared.
Actually, I think the tip of the iceberg on Elaine was on the closing. It was all over the place. It didn't look professional. And we are talking about a woman who had write books, who Larry King did the intro of the book. She had years under her sleeve of practice, but she lost control. She was disorganized. She was, okay, remember, we have an hourglass memory. We're going to remember the first part and the last part. So it was deep, amber, deep. And after that, the rebuttal on the closing. So Camille was a strong, clear, concise. Ben on the upside was clear, concise. They take notes. They read notes. Some people complain. There are so many intricates in this case. I think it was a really good call to have the notes. And after that with the other Ben, and the last with her, Elaine. And Elaine was all over the place. It looked like old lady going to the supermarket complaining about the fish smell bad. Sorry, Elaine. I think you're a brilliant lawyer, but not all the lawyers can do trials. When I needed to go to trial for a personal case, what I need to hire is a lawyer who I know is going to be a bulldog in front of the jury.
To hire a killer.
So I do think that she's a really good lawyer to file papers, to do testimony and cross, but not to do the closing. I think it was a huge mistake putting Elaine after Camille. Camille has such a presence that actually they're collecting signatures to be in Aquaman too. You know that? That's how strong she become on the public arena. And Elaine, who was treating Amber like a grandmother and wasn't aggressive, is inevitable to you compare Camille with Elaine. It's happened on the media. Has nothing to do with age. Has to do with the style. Elaine dropped the ball. Elaine is not good doing the closing or the open. She shouldn't have been doing it with disorganized, all over the place, unprofessional. And I think the closing and the open, closing is to tell the people if they have any doubt, you can answer to those. I think Elaine did a lot of damage.
When you look at Depp's side, it was clear to me that they, at least the perception that I got, they were much more well organized. They were much more well practiced. They had planned all of their stuff ahead of time. They were ready for any kind of hearsay or leading arguments that came through cross-examination. But the one thing that really stood out for me was when Johnny Depp was giving his testimony and he was on the stand, the facial expressions that I got from him weren't as evident as the counterparty, right? Like if I looked at her, the facial expressions were all over the place.
All over the place.
Right. But I looked at Johnny Depp, so I was like, I'm not getting a lot out of this. Like I'm not really reading. Like I can tell that he's sad and I can tell that he regrets. Like it was almost this feeling that I got from him of like, I regret doing this. I regret being here and in this situation. But outside of that, I didn't get a lot out of that. What did you get out of it?
Let's explain what are the different behaviors we use when we prepare or we read someone. Microexpression, body language, and words, you need to have a baseline. You cannot do it. When people saw a picture and suddenly published in Cosmopolitan, the bad relation between the princess and the queen, like, yes, it's not true. You need to have a baseline. Face reading is the only one. You put a picture and I can read it. So what happened with Johnny Depp is people who were talking on the media never take the time to go back 10 years and review his interviews. It's a consistency. He's highly introvert and highly shy, coming from me. When I'm coming in a show and recording, because I'm talking what I know about it, I come up an extrovert and aggressive. But in my personal life, I'm horrible at networking and talking with people. It came really off and weird. So that is the real Johnny Depp. Most of the actors are extremely shy and introvert. They play a role. That's what makes them so good. So the Johnny Depp you saw on the stand is the Johnny Depp you're going to see on all the interviews. And for the ones who doubt it, please be my guest, Letterman, Larry King, a business show, red carpet. You're going to see always the pause, the tone. And I know some people that watch the recordings of Johnny Depp and accelerate the tone because they couldn't cope with how slow he talked. It's the same pace on the tone of the voice, the expression, the body is contained. He feels safe. And when you feel threatened, what happened when you says to the dog, who did that? They go to the corner. when a kid, you know, when a kid did something, you know which one did it because they get smaller, they get comprised. So in certain moments, Johnny Depp was small. When the things were emotional, talking about the abuse in his childhood, he had a crazy eye, so that's the reason he wore glasses with tinted. When he was remember those things, the lack of emotions has to do for how much pain you have. That's the reason on the counterpart, when she was talking about being abused and sexually abused by a bottle, she was all over the place. I have talked and take testimony with people who have been in similar situation. It's not a consistency with the pain when he was more consistent. Again, watch her interviews and what his interviews in the last 5 to 10 years, and you're going to see that it's the same person.
Yeah, very interesting. We got a comment here from one of our listeners saying, hey, what are your thoughts on the differences in body language between Dr. Hughes and Dr. Curry?
Okay, I did a special segment on that. Remember when we said that you perceive how you present yourself? I think that Dr. Curry was more likable, but who the heck prepared that woman to go to STEM? She looked like she's going to go to the thrift stores on Sunday with their family, with the jacket and the hair. She didn't look professional. So that threw out a lot of people regarding the testimony. She was more like going forward. Now, Dr. Hughes presented herself like the classic psych doctor from New York. Perfect. But she was lecturing people. She was using the finger. She was lecturing. And one of the things, and I don't know if other people get an attention, every time that she talked about abuse, she used she. And every time that she used abuser, she used he. He is the abuser. She is the victim. Instead to generalize. So the implicit fact that she only considering that a woman can be victim of physical abuse was really down. So Dr. Hughes, when she was attacked, she came up aggressive, giving you a lecture, the classic Brooklyn, New York personality. Because you're the best expert on the world doesn't mean that you can present testimony and be likable. Again, your experts can kill you. And in this case, Dr. Hughes did a lot of damage. She wasn't clear on the answers. She was answering things that wasn't asked to. And Dr. Curry, even though her delivery physically, how she presented herself professionally, she managed the situation really well. When the, I don't remember at this point, my apologies, a blur. I haven't slept since the verdict. So it was like, so you was having drinks with Johnny Depp, with his legal team and Johnny Depp. She was really clear. No, that is not correct. It's not dressed correctly. Instead to fight with, her demeanor was calm, the body was calm, her voice was calm. Again, I'm not in favor or against any of them. I think they're both lies. I don't think that this taking your private life on the media should be happening. But from the behavioral standpoint as a profiler, I think the Curry did more good to the case and Hughes did more damage.
So interesting. What do you think are some of the major lessons, like we as sort of the common viewers, let me break it into two audiences. For those of us that have to go into court one day, God forbid we ever have to do that. But for those of us that have to do that one day, what are some of the major lessons that you took away from this that you're going to be advising people on? Because you do that. You do advise legal teams on how to prepare yourselves, how to make sure you have the right body language, how to make sure you have the right facial expressions. What are you, advice are you going to give future legal teams?
Never, ever go without being coached. What the heck is wrong with you? So one of the things that happened with us is when we tell the lawyers, well, you know what? We need to coach you, your clients, your witness, your expert. Well, I have 25 years as a lawyer. I win all the cases. My client is right. The expert knows what you're talking about. I think these cases show that it's not your story. It's how you say it. To give an example, inside out of the courthouse, we do a lot of Shark Tank entrepreneurs who want to present. The faster, better deal on the history of Shark Tank, we did the coaching. Athena, she was a bra company. She won Shark Tank in 7 minutes. And when she came to us, says, I won Mr. Wonderful. And like, you know, honey, that he never do deals with a person like you. He was the first one. He was put on the promise that he never did a deal before. She got the deal in 7 minutes and wasn't the most profitable company he did deals the last season. You know why? She knew how to talk to him without knowing that she was talking to him. So the difference between Shark Tank, a negotiation, an entrepreneur getting found, and the legal setting is not your story, it's how you said. Do you remember Semenov, the guy who was to the Shark Tank, who have the, he lost. He had the best product ever. But when he says, hey, who is Semenov? With doubt on the voice. It wasn't the product. It was how he sell to other people. So how your voice and your body is aligned. For dating, legal setting, negotiation, you cannot be unprepared. And by the way, your words. Like Dr. Hughes says, she, when is the victim, and he is the victimizer, you need to be careful because we pay attention. We peek in those cues. Never, ever underestimate the magic of be prepared for any situation. Like I was today, again, I was under the pressure, was a recording audio. Thank God I always put my makeup and my clothes in the morning. Always be ready.
Yeah. It's clear to me throughout all of this that there are some major lessons that we can take away, not only from the legal side, but just in terms of the preparation and the coaching side, dress, facial expressions, body language, etc. There are going to be people who listen to this when this turns into a podcast and watch this on LinkedIn, because we're streaming live right now, that are going to want to engage you to help them to prepare for potentially legal cases or potentially entrepreneurship stuff that they're doing, presentations, etc. If they want to connect with you, what is the best way to connect with you?
Here on LinkedIn, Google Susan Ibitz. I'm from humanbehaviorlab.com. Like always, I reply to all the emails, all the comments, and all the messages by myself. So be nice with me. Give me time if you need it, because I have a lot of messages. And again, Mark, you do the same. You teach negotiation in another level. I do it from the behavioral standpoint, but it's always room to improvement. Whoever says this training is not for me, I would doubt about working with that person, because I'm 50 years old and I'm embarked in 2 new certifications for 33 years of experience. That is what says who you are as a person and how you prepare yourself. Never, never underestimate the magic to go to the right person, to go to the right training and learn a little more. And sometimes it's some spring cleaning. I have classes that I've done more than once and I'm doing every 5 years only to remind my brain that I have that knowledge and I need to bring it back and use it. And with science and studies, we learn so much, Mark, that it's a sin to be obsolete, not to be learning every time.
Yeah. I continue to learn so much from you. I love the work that you do on facial expressions. I love your YouTube work as well. Some really, really great analysis there. And for the listeners and the viewers, please do yourself a favor. Book some time with Susan. Understand what she does. Most likely, if you are preparing for something to do with a pitch or a presentation or defense in legal, she's one of the leading minds in this space in terms of body language and facial expressions. Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Mark. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go on to iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.